Welcome to Babbling Books, a podcast about books and the authors behind them. I'm your host, Lily. You can say hi to me on Twitter at BabblingLily, Lily like the flower. Please come say hi, follow, all that good stuff. Please also subscribe or follow this podcast wherever you listen to it so you can get notifications when new episodes come out. Today I'm going to be interviewing Elizabeth Keenan, author of Rebel Girls, who possesses a PhD in punk rock. Elizabeth, not the book, which is awesome. Rebel Girls, the book, is set in 1992, which to my young eyes was a very long time ago, and it's about abortion and feminism and sisterhood and friendship. In Rebel Girls, Athena Graves attends a pro-life Catholic school, but is actually pro-choice along with her family, most of her family. And her usual routine involves listening to her favorite staunchly feminist punk rock bands and arguing with her pro-life younger sister Helen. In the beginning of the school year, after some pretty intense protests about abortion over the summer, a false rumor about Athena's sister starts to spread that she got an abortion over the summer. In St. Anne's, Helen could not only be ostracized but expelled because of this gossip, and Athena sets out to convince her school that it doesn't matter what Helen did or didn't do, and also contend with her own social issues at the same time. So without further ado, Elizabeth Keenan. So here we have Elizabeth Keenan. Author of the newly published Rebel Girls. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Rebel Girls is the story of two sisters in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1992. One sister identifies as pro-choice, the other as pro-life, and the story happens after a huge protest that really happened in the 90s by Operation Rescue that was a big anti-abortion protest. And the two sisters go back to school, and someone starts a rumor that the pro-life sister had an abortion over the summer during those protests.
So did any of your own experiences influence this book, or is it based on people that you know, or is it based on your imagination?
It's based on my imagination. There are some things that did inform it, though. Like, the school is very similar to my school in terms of, like, structure. Like, it looks like where my school was, and in terms of kind of the general atmosphere, but none of the people are real. One of the people, there is one real person, and she gets a shout out in my acknowledgments. I mentioned my former English teacher's name, and so that is something. She's real, but like everybody else is not real.
How did you get into writing and publishing and books and all that jazz?
Well, there's a couple of different things, which is one that I was like in the middle of a career change, and I wanted to have a hobby that made me feel good. And then, of course, it was writing. And that's, of course, like a whole like long term process of, you know, you like write a thing and you think maybe it's got something. So then you try to get an agent, but you realize then you've also probably queried too early. And then you go and you write another thing, and then you just keep kind of coming back. So it was a long process. It was a very long process. I mean, and for me, like, I can contrast it with something else. I just recently switched agents, got new agents. And, like, that second time around, I literally, like, I queried 8 people. And within 24 hours, 6 of the 8 had responded. And I had 4 offers by the end of, like, the next week. So, which is very different once you have something published that people can read. Like, the first time around, it's just rejection after rejection after rejection. And then, like, you know, you move to a different point in your life and suddenly people are responding to you. So it's a long process and a hard one.
So if you could tell your main character, and her name is Athena, I believe.
Yes.
If you could tell her one thing, with no regards to how it would affect, like, the actual plot, like, not like, oh, I can't tell her this because it would ruin the entire story. What would you tell it, like, in the beginning of the story? If you could tell her from page one, what would you tell her? And why?
I would tell her that she needs to stop being, I would tell her to stop being so anxious, because she's really anxious about a lot of different things. And I think that the plot could still happen if she weren't so anxious about certain things. And also, you know, just to kind of not judge a book or a person by their cover. That's what she needs to also do.
But that would also affect...
That would affect the plot, though. So that would be a problem.
How do you think she would respond to your advice?
She would probably acknowledge that she needs to stop being so anxious. She would still be more anxious than about being anxious. And then the other one, she would probably tell me that I'm just absolutely wrong about her, and that's not what she's doing at all. It's true, you know.
So why did you decide to write this book, specifically YA, and not, like, I don't know, middle grade or new adult or adult? Like, what's the difference for you?
Well, I think that there aren't really a lot of books about abortion or even tangentially related to abortion in the YA space. And a lot of them kind of, when they do, they, like, when books deal with pregnant, this is, book doesn't actually deal with pregnancy. It is, you know, it is about bullying related to essentially abortion stigma. You find out along the way, and I'm not going to say who, that someone has had an abortion in the book, but that's not the issue for this, you know, for this teenager. It's like, you know, this rumor is very powerful. But I wanted to deal with, have a YA book that dealt with abortion in some way, and I just didn't see that anywhere. And I didn't think that a book for adults, like, a lot of adults kind of recognize it as reproductive rights as an issue. And I feel like it might not have really worked. It wouldn't really work in a middle grade space. So I think it's like, it is a story that works in YA, if that makes sense.
So I know that you've been writing this for a very long time, yeah. But does the recent conversation about abortion and reproductive rights, did that have anything to do with it when it was being published? Like, was that a talk that affected the editing of the book?
In a way, yeah. So I, when I originally wrote it, and I wrote it in the 90s, I got a lot of advice, don't send anything in the 90s. But for me, like, I was looking for a space where abortion was really visible and present and in the news. And it wasn't when I was writing this. Like, the first draft I wrote, like, 2010 to 2012. And then I put it aside because I really just wasn't getting anywhere with it. And I finally came back to it, like, 2015. So, like, it was a gap of, like, 3 years where I did nothing on this book. And I think that the conversation has changed, and especially changed since the 2016 election. And I think it's a lot more relevant now. And, there were things that in the editing, because it was bought in 2017, I guess. It takes forever to get a book published, even after it's purchased. So after 20, like, and when it was bought in, like, 2017, my editor and I had talks about how we could make some of the things from the 90s feel more parallel to today instead of just feeling like an isolated thing.
So what was some of the publishing issues that you came across when you were publishing the book?
Well, I mean, first of all, people don't really, like, I think that a lot of YA editors don't really know what they're looking for when they're looking for a book about abortion, or they want a book about, like, a girl who's, like, deciding whether or not she has an abortion. And what's interesting is that I'm going to give a plug to another book, this Unpregnant, which is by Jenny Hendricks and Ted Kaplan. They also don't have anybody who's, like, deciding. She makes the choice and she's, like, going to do it. And then she has to go on this, like, crazy road trip. It's a very good book. But I think that, like, both of us sort of dealt, like, we got a lot of questions along the way.
So I'd like to thank Elizabeth Keenan, first and foremost, for going along with my interview and being an absolutely fabulous person. You can find Elizabeth on her website, Elizabeth Keenan Writes. Keenan is spelled K-E-E-N-A-N. She's also on Twitter at @badcoverversion. Thank you to Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York, for hosting this interview. Oblong is an independent bookstore, and you can find them at oblongbooks.com. Please order Rebel Girl from your local indie or Barnes & Noble if necessary. It's fantastic and references a lot of old punk rock bands I had no idea existed. Thank you for listening to Babbling Books. I'm glad you joined me.